God, just so good to see each and every one of you. Those that are watching online, welcome this morning. We miss you. If you're someone that hasn't been with us in a while, if you're looking for the first time, just worship the Lord, and we're just going to lift Him up and honor Him. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this morning. God is great. God is great. Amen. And worthy to be praised.
Yes, He is.
Praise the Lord. If you have a prayer request this morning, just show by the raising of your hand. Yes, God knows and sees each and every one. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise Your holy name. Lord, we just thank You for allowing us to gather in Your house and in Your name. Dear Lord, as we come together this morning, dear Lord, we ask for Your blessings. Dear Lord, for Your anointing to be upon our services. Dear Lord, to be upon every word sung, every instrument played. Dear Lord, and as Your message is brought forth, dear Lord, may we just be in tune to Your word. Dear Lord, as we come to You now, dear Lord, and we just want to open up our hearts to You. Lord, again, as we may just release everything that's distracting us right now, dear Lord, and just let You and You alone minister to us. Lord, we love You and we thank You for everyone that's here in the congregation, those that are watching live. Lord, You see now the hands that were raised, dear Lord. You know the depths of our hearts. Lord, You know the needs, dear Lord, the situations that's going forth in the world today and in our homes and in our minds. Lord, we ask now for that peace that only You can provide. Dear Lord, for that joy that only You can provide. Dear Lord, for that comfort that only You can provide. Dear Lord, for that wellness that only You can provide. Dear Lord, we know that through You and You alone, all things are possible. Lord, we thank You, Jesus, for your love and mercy. Lord, again, we come to you and just want to worship you. And we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And we all say,
amen,
amen, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord another hand clap. Praise God, praise God. While you're standing, turn to page 276, Prayer Bells in Heaven. Praise God. I heard my name. Yes, ma'am. God is, we know, and just comfort the Lord. Just praise the Lord. Page 276, Prayer Bells in Heaven. Somebody an air high five somewhere. Let them know how much the Lord loves them. Praise God. Praise God. Because I'll be honest with you. No matter what you're going through, no matter what trials and how much things just seem to be wanting to weight you down, God answers prayers.
Yes.
He is there for us. He is there with us. You're not alone. Praise God. Praise God. We just want to love the Lord this morning. Love each and every one of you. We're going to get ready and take up our morning offering. I can get a couple of ushers. Gentlemen of the church, come forward. Praise God. Praise God. Brother Thomas, if you'd ask the Lord just to bless our offering this morning. Yes.
I have to bless all those who are not able to be here, Lord, whether they're sick in body, Lord, or bless those who are sick in spirit. We know, Lord, you can uplift them and show them the love that only you can give them, Lord. Lord, bless this offering for the person of God, Lord. Lord, bless all those that have to give, especially those who don't. We ask you to give you.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus is in the house. Blessing. Amen. Glory to God. God is still alive. Amen.
Yes, He is.
Come on. He's alive and well.
Yes.
And just in case you didn't know, he is aware of everything that's going on. Amen. If we'll just put our faith and trust in the Lord, God will always make a way. Amen. Why don't you just give the Lord a great old big hand clap of praise? Had a chance to do a little trapping this week, and we went up into the mountains, saw some of God's beautiful, majestic creation. We were traveling back, and we saw, went by a couple of funeral, a couple of, actually, I guess burial cemeteries, the wife says, yeah. And they were partially covered with snow, and, you know, I just kind of looked, we just were going slow, and looked at all the monuments that were out there and the grave sites, and just had a wonderful feeling of God just taking care of those who have already gone. You know, they're not aware of any problems or any situations or anything that's going on or transpiring in this world. It just had such a peaceful feeling of consolation and just knowing that one of these days, when we get to heaven, everything's going to be all right. Well, life's been so hard, I can't complain. When I'm down, God gives me strength to rise again. But I'm weary from the struggle of it all. I listen for His call. Heaven sounding sweeter all the time. Seems like lately it's always on my mind. Someday I'll leave this world behind. Heaven sounding sweeter all the time. I know it's hard to lose a loved one to the grave, but we have the blessed hope that Jesus gave. God's gonna wipe every tear from our eyes. The skies and heaven sounding sweeter all the time. Seems like lately it's always on my mind. Someday I'm gonna leave this world. To talk about heaven. Going to be a wonderful place. Place prepared by Jesus Christ Himself. Amen. All of our troubles, all of our trials, all of our strifes and worry, amen, will be left behind. What a glorious thought that is. I hope and pray that everyone under the sound of my voice has made preparation, has accepted Jesus Christ as both Lord and Savior, Ask Him to come into your heart and into your life to fill you not only for this present life, amen, but that life that is to come. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, go with us to the book of St. Matthew. We desire your prayers this morning. Pray that God would just give us liberty, and pray that God would just give us that He has for us from heaven. Amen. To speak the word of encouragement and direction that He would have us to go. Amen. From the book of St. Matthew in the third chapter, I want to read verses 13 through 17. And then in chapter 4, I want to read verse number 1. Again, Matthew, the third chapter, 13 through 17, chapter number 4, verse number 1. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan, unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, God, for your mercy, for your grace. Father, for your abundant love. Father, I pray this morning, God, that you would anoint these lips of clay. God, this vessel. God, speak to us that you would have us to hear. Help us to be submissive and obedient to your word and to your will. Father, I pray for this congregation. I pray for those who are sick, those who are afflicted. Father, I pray that your healing hand would reach out to each and every need this morning. God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would just take charge of this service. God, lead it and guide it and direct it as you see fit. God, and help us just to be obedient unto you. Father, we do remember, God, all of those who are lost today, seemingly unconcerned, and we pray for a stirring of their hearts. We pray for a revival fire, God, to break out all over this nation. God, to bring souls to you before it's everlasting too late. We look to you to give you praise, honor, and glory, and we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. Message title this morning would be simply Led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit. Being led by the Spirit basically involves two actions. First of all, it is hearing. Secondly, it is doing. Amen. It's one thing to hear, but it's something very different to hear and then to put that into motion by doing are obeying. Doing what the Spirit asks is not always pleasant. And sometimes it can be quite difficult. I want to look at this morning at Jesus' obedience to the Holy Spirit. We see that Jesus, when he came to that particular age and he was about to begin his ministry, and you Bible readers know that Jewish law and Jewish customs only allowed you to be a minister after you had reached or attained the age of 30 years. Jesus was on the doorstep here of entering into his ministry, what he was fulfilled by God to do, the mission that he was to complete. Let's look at Jesus' obedience to the Holy Spirit. He came to John, who was baptizing unto repentance. You all know the story of John and how his birth was also pre-announced as Jesus' was. And he also was a vehicle and a minister of God. And Jesus came to John to be baptized, and John was quite taken back by this and said, I need to be baptized of you. And Jesus understood and wanted to convey unto John that they must both be obedient to the word and to the prophecy and to all righteousness of God. So Jesus' commitment to God was for the purpose for humanity to come to a repentive state. Understand the dispensation of the Holy Ghost had not been done yet until Jesus was crucified and died and came forth out of the tomb and ascended into heaven to send the Comforter back. So up until that point, John was merely baptizing unto repentance. But Jesus, knowing that he was in a body of flesh, I think sometimes we forget this, or we tend to overlook that Jesus hurt just like any other normal person. Jesus felt compassion like anybody else. I remember reading about him being the son of a carpenter, and there's very little written in the Bible, but I once said that when he was working around his daddy's shop, and maybe he picked up one of the hammers and maybe a nail or something, as kids do, and began to try to build something, and maybe he hit his finger or his thumb or something. And, you know, him being the Spirit of God in flesh, you would think that maybe God would spare him from those feelings, but they did not. He hurt just like anybody else. And that had to be fulfilled because he hurt on the cross of Calvary. Every stripe that he took, he felt it. He didn't have to, but he did. Not because of his guilt, but because of our guilt. So Jesus conveys to John, this must be fulfilled. And he was baptized. And God was so pleased with Jesus' submission and obedience that a sound from heaven came and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And John saw Jesus coming up out of the water, and the Holy Spirit ascended and lit on his shoulder as a dove. And John knew from that moment that what had just taken place was the fulfillment of God's holy word. So Jesus was leaving an example for you and me, not just to hear from God, but to also obey and do God's work and his will. The Spirit then leads Jesus into the wilderness. Can I pause for just a moment? He is about to embark on his ministry of healings, of anointings, of great masses of people coming to him to just simply hear him speak the word of God, to simply touch the hem of his garment and be made whole. Many are about to be healed. Blinded eyes are about to be opened. Deaf ears are about to be unstopped. The lame are about to begin to be healed and walk again. Even people who have died are about to be raised again because of the obedience of Jesus Christ unto the Father, amen, to come in flesh and blood, not just to heal us, not just to open up eyes, but to give us the Spirit of God, which was well within us in the form of the Holy Ghost, amen, that will empower us to live in this present state that we're living in. Amen. So you would think that this would be a time of celebration. In today's world, you would think this would be a time of scheduling revivals, as we have just been called into the ministry, and maybe having great healing services where many people come with all different kinds of diseases and plagues and are made whole. How many knows that is going to transpire? But God has a purpose first for Jesus, not of celebration, not of rejoicing, but to be led of the Spirit into the wilderness, a place of desolation, a place of loneliness, and a place void of the beautiful scenery that we were just made to see this week, a place where seemingly it can get one's attention that we need to be submissive and obedient unto God. Not just a time of rest and relaxation. Not just a time of going and gathering our thoughts. But the Bible explicitly says that he was sent into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now I want this church to understand, and I want every born-again Christian
to understand. When we are spiritually directed to go into the wilderness, it may be to be tempted by the devil. Does not mean that God has taken His anointing off of you. It does not mean that God doesn't care for you. It does no way denote that the Spirit of God has left you. In fact, it is the exact opposite. God has sent us into this spiritual wilderness to strengthen us, to embolden us, to prepare us for the things that are set before us, and to let us know that no matter what we face, we will not ever face it alone, but He will in fact be with us even until the very end. But there is a need sometimes to be led by the Spirit into the wilderness. We find that as Jesus embarked into the wilderness, He did not pack His lunch. I don't read where He took an extra set of clothes. This was not to be a pleasant situation. It was meant to be very serious. Can I just pause for just a moment? We need the church world today to become very serious in seeking God's will. Not necessarily in seeking our will, or our desires, or what we think God ought to be doing, but to come into a spiritual wilderness void of any extractions or anything that would cause us to distract us, amen, and get our mind focused on God, as Brother Tony preached the other night. Don't lose our focus. My focus should not be on myself, but my focus should be on the desires of God, what He would have me to do. And I believe, church, whether we would admit it or realize it or not, in fact, we have been spiritually sent into a wilderness. Wildernesses are not very pleasant. Wilderness is not a place that you would want to go just to enjoy yourself. But we have been sent because God is seeing and knowing that what's about to come on this world, amen, the children of God must be ready. Come on, if you're lukewarm, you need to get fired up. Glory to God. If you're lost, you certainly need to be saved. Amen. If you're unconcerned, you need to get serious. Because I believe, according to the Scriptures and the Word of God, things are about to get really, really tough. We're praying, God, make it easy. But God said, I have another plan. But my plan does not exclude you. No matter what happens, I'm going to protect you. No matter what comes, you're going to be in the palm of my hand. I will not let a bone in your body be broken, because my power is greater than the power of the world. But we need to be prepared. We need to be led by the Spirit, not vice versa. Too many times the church tries to lead the Spirit of God. We need to be submissive and obedient and let the Spirit of God lead us. So Jesus, upon the baptism, which is a glorious time. Man, how many can I just get a witness? You remember time when you went down in the water? I've heard all kinds of things. Oh, how that feels so good. When I was baptized in a little creek in Rockmart, Georgia, and I remember just a young boy walking out, and I remember when my head went under. I had gone under the water lots and lots of times, but when I went under the water, amen, in the form of baptism, I came up, my Lord in mercy, everything seemed so bright and beautiful and wonderful. Isn't baptism a wonderful thing? Amen. Significance of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, hallelujah. And upon the event of this baptism, the Bible almost says It doesn't say the word immediately, but it goes right into the verse. Then was Jesus led by the Spirit into the wilderness. It makes me think, you know, sometimes I've heard people say, oh, my Lord have mercy. We had such a wonderful service on Sunday night. I mean, the Holy Ghost just came down. It was just thick as a cloud come in and just took charge of the service. And my Lord have mercy, you know, I've heard them say, it was such a good service, we didn't have to listen to the preacher. Well, they didn't say it that way. But they said it was such a good service, we didn't even have preaching. Amen. And you know, and then I've heard them when they're walking out the door say, oh, Lord have mercy, I bet tomorrow's going to be awful because the devil's going to be mad. Almost leaving church with an expectation that the devil is going to be on us. Amen. But those saints knew something. They knew something. The devil always comes and tries to steal your victory. He tries to take away where God has just brought you to. He tries to make you doubt what God has just done in your life. And when the baptism of the Holy Ghost came into me, amen, it wasn't too many days later that the devil tried to tell me nothing really happened. You were just caught up in yourself. But I got something to tell the devil. Amen. The reason he's after you is because he knows he ain't got you. Amen. Hallelujah. If he wanted to, glory to God, he wants you so bad. But greater is he that is within us. No, Jesus wasn't led to the Sermon on the Mount. He wasn't led to the multitude to be fed with the fishes and the loaves. Wasn't led to Lazarus' house to raise him from the dead. Wasn't even led to the place where he could commune with his disciples. But the Bible says then the Spirit led him into the wilderness for a specific thing, for him to be tempted. God, don't you love me? Why are you letting these things happen to me? Lord, why am I experiencing this? Do you not care? Do you not care that we perish? Lord, are you not aware of what's going on? What makes us think that if God loved Jesus so much, but yet he allowed him, not only allowed him, but directed him into the wilderness because sometimes what we see or perceive as anger or punishment is nothing more than God allowing us to grow spiritually for what we are about to face. So if God loved His Son and allowed Him, not only allowed Him, but directed Him into the wilderness, why should we think that is so strange that God sometimes leads us or directs us into the wilderness? We don't like to go into the wilderness, but in the wilderness there is strength. In the wilderness there is direction. In the wilderness there is obedience, because there's nothing else out there. All we got to depend on is the Lord. So Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted, come on, of the devil. And what does the devil first come? He hits him with hunger. Hunger. Hunger is a very real sense. Come on. I know sometimes we say we're starving to death. We're really not. But if you go 1, 2, 3 days without food, you suddenly that is all that's on your mind. We got to get something to eat. Right now it's 3 times a day and in between. Got to have something. We got to get something to eat. And imagine being in a wilderness, which the Lord was God robed in flesh. God created the world. Got any believers? And the devil, you know, we often think that the devil's sitting out there with a pitchfork and two red horns sticking up in a red suit sitting there by Jesus tempting him, when I believe that maybe he was tempting him even through his mind. You don't necessarily have to see Satan to know that he's tempting you. When you say, where did that come from? Oh, Lord, forgive me of that thought. That's when Satan is coming against you. And Satan come at him and said, look at those stones. They're round. They almost look like a loaf of bread. And you know, Lord, you can turn those stones into bread. And no one would ever know any difference. And you can still say you fasted. Jesus, you know what I rebuke Satan with every single time? The Word. You can't argue with Satan. You sure don't need to compromise with him. But if you'll get the Word out. The Word read to Satan is almost like you take your fingernails and rub them down a blackboard to Satan. He can't stand it. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He overcame that hunger. He was not there to fulfill the flesh. He was there to defeat the flesh. Amen. And many, many times we're praying to fulfill the flesh when we should be praying, Father, let me defeat the flesh. Let the spirit that is within me be stronger, be greater, more powerful than the body that contains it. And sometimes that takes a wilderness journey. The second thing he faced him with was with faith. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If a word from hell, if God loved you, if God cared for you, he wouldn't let this happen. If God really loved you. Satan said, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. Satan knows the word. He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Satan's speaking the word. But he's speaking it sarcastically. And he said, if you really think you who you if you who you are, if you really are who you think you are, then throw yourself off of this mountain. Throw yourself off this pinnacle. Word says the angels will come and take charge. Again, enticing his flesh. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Amen. Satan backs off. See, he's already hit him with two different things. He's attacked his natural desire for food. Jesus overcame that. He's attacking his faith. Yeah. You know, if I jump off a stone mountain, I know God can prevail, but he's going to say, you idiot. God, where's your love? There's a way down off the mountain without jumping. Come on. Now, if my wife pushed me off, I believe God would protect me. It's never the fall that hurts, it's that sudden landing. Then the devil taketh him up to an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Whether we realize it or not, this has been one of the greatest downfalls of ministers. It really has. When they begin to observe their success, the things that they have done, and all of those are wonderful, but when they begin to think, I am responsible for all of this, then they're doing the same thing that Satan's taking them up on a mountain and showing, look what all you could have. Just want to pause and say this. Many Pentecostal holiness saints of God that came up in the churches singing and making music and all have had the lure of the world transform them into taking their talent outside the church because they can make money out there. Come on, you think Satan can't make the world enticing? He can. That's the reason we need to stay in the wilderness sometimes until we get victory. We can defeat the desires of the flesh. And saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall. There's that word again. If thou wilt fall down and worship me, then saith Jesus unto him. Jesus, you're tired of it. Come on, you got to get to a point where you get tired of Satan bugging you. You got to get to a point where you say, you know what? I'm not going to listen to you anymore. All you've done is lie to me. All you've done is come against me. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Get thee behind me. I don't have any way in my life for you. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. The wilderness may seem like a lonely and desolate place, certainly a place we wouldn't choose to go and have rest. But I would say this morning, because Jesus was led by the Spirit, we want to be led by the Spirit. Sometimes the Spirit leads us into uncomfortable situations. But the benefits are so much greater than the sacrifice that we have. Amen. We'll grow spiritually. And that's what the church needs right now, is to grow spiritually. I want to go to verse 2 and 11. Of chapter 4. Again. I want to go to Romans chapter 8. And 14. Then I want to read 15 through 16. If you want to flip over there, Romans chapter number 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, or the children of God. Those that are led, those that fulfill and complete the walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the writer goes on to say in verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear. Can I say that fear is one of Satan's greatest and most often used weapons? The fear. You see it magnified in the world today. People are living and existing in fear. Fear of what some man says. Fear of what science says. Fear of all of these other things. Where is our faith that we should be putting and trusting in God? For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I don't know about you, but I've been adopted. Amen. There has been a blood transfusion in my life. All things have passed away. All things have become new since that transformation. He is my Father. The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You know, it is so popular now on television. They do these DNA tests. See who the baby daddy. I know who this baby daddy. Come on. I know. He is my father. The DNA proves it. I've been born again. I've been washed in the blood. Oh, I've become a new creature. I know my destination. Hallelujah. I know who my Father is. He is the creator of heaven and this world. He's the great I am, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. Hallelujah. He's all. Woo, glory. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs. Not just heirs, but joint heirs. What he has, we have. Glory to God. Kind of like it is when you're married. What you have, your wife has. My wife says, what's mine is mine, what's yours is mine. Anyway. But we're joint heirs with God. Hallelujah. Oh, what's that song? When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. One place says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. These little sufferings. And I know the flesh says, oh, they're terrible. They're unbearable. But they're not, because God has promised us He will not put more on us than we are able to bear. But can I really drive home the point that sometimes the Spirit leads us where we don't necessarily want to go? The flesh doesn't. The Spirit knows it's beneficial. And the Spirit finally has to take subjection over the flesh and says, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. If this is where you want me to be, Father, if this is where you want me to go, through this time of temptation, through this time of turmoil, through this time of seemingly impossibilities that constantly bombard us, Lord, I know that through it all, I'm going to gain strength. Through it all, I'll come out free on the other side. Amen. Hallelujah. Led by the Spirit. We want Him to lead us down the gentle path. Lead me beside the still waters. Amen. Lead me into the green pastures. And He will. Isn't it amazing that flesh only dwells primarily on the negative things? We can give you every little detail of something that's negative happened in our life. But yet we seem to take the blessings in stride and just, oh, hey, okay. Thank God for your blessings on me. When we don't go into every little detail about God's blessing on us like we do in the pain and the misery and the turmoil and the conflict that we have. We got that down. But I will assure you that during those times, it will be greatly beneficial spiritually to us. Don't go into the wilderness with a poor, pitiful me attitude. Don't go into the wilderness questioning, God, do you not really love me? Do you not care? But say, Lord, if this is where you want me at this point in my time, God, help me to be obedient. Help me to be willing. Help me to make the sacrifice. God, because I know that I'll come out stronger than I went into the wilderness. My dad and mom and the Allen family used to sing a song, How Do You Feel? since you come out of the wilderness? Even not how do you feel since you went in, but how do you feel once you come out of the wilderness? Come out of that trial. Come out of that temptation. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how do you feel since you come out of the fire? Free? Amen. The only thing that burned us was the ropes that had us bound. Hallelujah. You really want to get free in God? Come on, don't hesitate to be led wherever the Spirit leads us, wherever it takes us. Be willing to go. Lord, lead me. Help me. Guide me. Remember the two words, hearing and doing. Hearing and doing. That's the twofold actions of being led by the Spirit. Would you stand? God bless you this morning. I appreciate your kindness. I appreciate your attentiveness. And I pray that all of us would be stronger in the Lord. And the Bible says we have not because we ask not. If you want to be stronger in the Lord, the Spirit may lead you to an unpleasant situation, but I guarantee you it will be beneficial. With every head bowed, every eye closed this morning, every saint of God praying, you know this altar is open. I hope I don't have to remind you that this altar is always open. If you have a need of God, if you have a need for a closer walk, whatever the situation may be, we're not here to judge you. We're not here to find out what's going on in your life. We're here to lift you up and help you and encourage you. And if you need closer walk with the Lord, we want to pray with you. If you need healing, we'll pray with you there. While every head is still closed, every head is still bowed, every eye closed, if you have a prayer need, just lift your hand. Let this pastor know. And I will be praying for you this week. May God bless you. Amen. Brother Jim, would you come and dismiss us with a word of prayer? May God bless you. We love you so very much.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come past this precious soul, God, that Sister Jennifer stands in for, Father, I pray, God, that you would award her faith right now. God, I pray that you would move on her behalf. God, whatever the need, whatever the situation, God, you are aware of it. God, not only are you aware, but you're concerned. And Father, we pray right now, God, that you would intercede. God, that you would move right now for this soul. Move in the name of Jesus, Lord, and we'll give you praise. We'll give you honor and glory. And by faith, Lord, we call it done in Jesus' name. Let it be done, Lord. Glory to God.
Yes,
hallelujah. To God be the glory. Praise the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just love the Lord. Just love His Word. Oh, it's so uplifting. You know, and I just want to say this as I always do. I just love the Lord and I love each and every one of you. You know, God is great.
Amen.
And He knows exactly what we need to hear and when we need to hear it. Just so glad to see some of y'all that we haven't seen in a while. And again, for those watching online, if you have a prayer request, just place it in the comments and we'll definitely be praying with you. All hearts and minds clear.
Praise.
All hearts and minds clear. You know, God's calling. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Amen. And we're by faith. We know that God's got Brother Terry and you too, Miss Connie, and your family. We just lift him up now. And again, as we've prayed for others, let's just be in much prayer for all the situations and all the things that are going forward right now and just want to lift the Lord up. Choir practice this evening at 5. Miss Penny's giving me the cue, so it's 5 o'clock. Thank you. So glad to have y'all with us this morning. Don't forget about service this evening. We'd love to have each and every one with us. But again, as we close, let's keep in mind all the prayers, those in the prayer box, those on the flash list, all the ministries that are going forward. We just love the Lord. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you. Lord, we lift you up and just honor you this day, Lord. We just thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for Brother Eddie and our pastor, and just strengthen him and all the ministries they're working forward out of this church. But most of all, dear Lord, we just thank you for your word again. And, dear Lord, we know you've allowed us, dear Lord, the opportunity to gather together in your name and in your house. Lord, as we prepare to depart, dear Lord, we ask for your blessings. And again, we thank you for answering these prayers. Keep us safe. Bring us back at our appointed time, dear Lord. And may we just go through these doors, Lord, knowing, Lord, that your Spirit is with us, dear Lord, if we receive. If there's anyone in the sound of our voice this morning that has not turned their life over to you and cannot call you Jesus as their Savior and Lord, Lord, we ask, we pray for them right now, dear Lord. And we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen. Praise God. Have a wonderful afternoon. See y'all this evening.